Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And we got Steve King back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a member of our Brain Trust. He's a partner at Emergent Research, and they're an organization that that does a lot of work on forecasting trends for small businesses, not only things that are happening around small businesses, but the trends of small businesses. And he's here today with more on that. Steve King, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So what have you been working on lately?
Well, we've been doing a study on who small business owners are from a demographic standpoint and what their motivations are for starting businesses and owning small.
When you say who they are from a demographic standpoint, meaning how many men, how many women, what age groups, that kind of thing?
That's correct.
A cultural, maybe racial, that kind of thing.
Yep, sort of age, ethnicity.
Yep.
And related sex, gender, and related aspects.
So what did you find out?
Well, you know, in the United States, most small business owners are male, and they're white, and they're middle-aged or older, about 70% male, 30% female.
Interesting.
About 76% are 45 years or older, and about half are 54 years or older, and interestingly enough, about 16% are 65 years or older.
Wow.
And so despite some of the beliefs, and, you know, high-tech, high-growth entrepreneurs, the people running Twitter and Facebook and Google tend to get a lot of the press, and they started their things being very young. But the average small business owner, regular small business owner, and here we're talking about businesses with less than 100 employees,
mm-hmm.
they're actually mostly middle-aged and older.
You know, the SBA says that women own almost half of America's small businesses. Does your research refute that?
No, the SBA. The SBA includes smaller and part-time businesses.
They're including all 26 million, and you're probably focusing more on the seven or eight million that have employees.
We actually also include non-employers, but our methodology requires that the business produce at least half of the household income.
No, you're right. Once you throw in the mompreneurs and the home based and the lifestyle entrepreneurs, as sometimes people call them, that brings in millions of other people.
Yeah, and there is a strong trend towards women owning small businesses,
yeah.
And we've seen that growth.
There's no question the trend is there, but the numbers in terms of substance still haven't gotten to the 50% level.
That's correct.
That's good, and that's a good distinction. I think that's an honest and fair distinction. Not to minimize anybody, but I think it's important for us to recognize all that. All right, so that's who they are. A little bit of who they are. What did you find out about the ethnicity? What were some of the things you learned there?
Well, again, the vast majority are Caucasian, 87%. But it's been changing very rapidly. We have about 13% minority ownership, but we've been seeing a rapid shift with, in particular, Hispanic small business ownership growing
a lot in the last decade, hasn't it?
Sure has, and it continues to grow very fast. Immigrant small business ownership has traditionally been high.
Right,
and
especially among Asians?
Actually, it's interesting. Almost every almost every immigrant group at this point has a higher small business formation rate than native-born Americans.
What is the in your profile that you surveyed? What is the incidence of African American business owner?
African American business owner is relatively low. It's in the 4-5% overall. However, the last 2 years we've seen the fastest rates of growth in African American small business ownership, and interestingly enough, the Kauffman Foundation just put out a study echoing those results, saying that it was the fastest. And so, we've really seen a shift in the last 3 to 5 years, an increase in African American ownership rates.
And I think that that's also in line with some of the growth in the middle class African American. In that community. I think that's probably good news. I'm glad to hear that. Stand by. Steve King has got some really good information. He's got a lot more to tell us, too, right after these messages. This is fascinating to me. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Use it to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there. We built just for you, created just for you, made available just for you, all free. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. And don't forget to take the poll question that's on the homepage. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter, which is on the homepage. All that's free. Just check it out when you get a chance. The only thing you only have to tell us who you are if you subscribe to the newsletter. And all we have to have there is your email address. And well, I promise we have a very strict privacy policy. Nobody gets that but us. Steve King is our guest. He's our good friend, partner at Emergent Research. He does great work in studying the behavior and the formation and the sustainability and the success and the longevity and all the other things you can do to study small business owners. And it's fascinating, isn't it, Steve? Because small business owners are such fascinating people, aren't they?
Well, they are. They're very interesting. They come from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all ethnic, racial, gender backgrounds, all education levels. And they're really, it's really fun getting out and having the opportunity to talk to them on a daily basis.
Well, we're so lovable and huggable. We're so cute and cuddly.
Well, not all of them.
Absolutely. No, every one of them is lovable, huggable, snuggly, and cuddly.
Well, it's a great research area, and it's just a lot of fun.
And I think they're sexy, too. Hey, Steve, let's talk about the formation of small businesses. What did some of your recent research tell you about that?
Well, we looked at the motivation behind why people start small business, and it's interesting. It's really not about the money. Only about 25% cite building wealth as a reason for starting their own business.
And that's good because most small businesses owners don't become wealthy.
That's correct, and it's interesting. We're comparing this with sort of the high growth entrepreneurs, the people that start
the gazelles,
Googles of the world, and it's really even bigger than that. The Googles of the world,
yeah.
The very high growth companies, and interestingly enough, building wealth is their number one reason.
Right,
and so there's a big difference in terms of the whys, and then for traditional small businesses, the key reason is being their own boss.
Mm-hmm.
It's number one all the time. Owning their own company is number two. Capitalizing on a business idea is number three. And then wealth does come in fourth in terms of...
That's very interesting. I know you just did it, but I think it'd be beneficial for people to hear that again. Would you run down through those quickly again, please?
Sure. Number one was being their own boss.
Folks, this is the number one reason why people said they started a small business. Go ahead.
Yep. Number one is being their own boss. Number two is to own their own company, which is a similar answer, but
yeah,
it's slightly different. Number three is to capitalize on a business idea. Number four is to create wealth. And number five is work-life balance, which was very close to number four. One of the other interesting things is way down the list, with only 6% mentioning it, is the need to get a job. Even through... Now, these are... these are existing small business owners, and when you do that, they've been in business. Most of them have
right.
been in their business for
a while. They've been in
it.
Well, these aren't people who were laid off last year.
Right, right. But historically, people do not start small businesses because they need a job.
Well, you know, I started my business in 89, and I had lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I was downsized twice in 18 months in the 80s. And I've told the audience, may have told you before, that when I first found out, I said, well, I guess I better dust my resume off. And then I said, in about 3 seconds, I said, no, I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And so I started my business. But this had been welling up in me for a long time. The entrepreneurial sap had been rising in my bark for a long time. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people, even if they don't lose their job. I think if you're smart, you fight the urge as long as you can, and you start doing some research, you start doing some preliminary, you know, checking around, doing some due diligence, and you sort of fight it as long as you can. Then when it gets to where you can't stand it, you take action.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And one of the interesting things is once people become small business owners, and they've been small business owners for a little while, almost all of them report that they like it. In the analysis that we've just finished, 60% of the owners reported themselves satisfied or very satisfied, 33% said somewhat satisfied, and only 7% said dissatisfied.
Well, here's the saying, Steve, the worst day as a small business owner is better than the best day as an employee.
Yeah, I think small business owners would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, that's the way we feel. And here's the reason for it, I think, Steve. We are the owners of the things that go well, and we own the mistakes. We own the failures. And see, as long as and if you spend any time as a small business owner, you realize that owning your failures is the best way to find success.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not in control of that, we don't own those failures, and the cards may split one the other way from what we think. And I that's how I feel. I feel like one of the great benefits that I have about being a business owner is that I get to own whatever happens, good or bad, it belongs to me.
Yeah, I think being on the firing line and being the cause. When we survey and work with corporate employees, we do often hear that one of the things they don't like about being a corporate employee is lack of impact, lack of knowing what they're doing.
Yep, absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Steve. We'll take a quick break. Steve King is with us. He's a partner at Emergent Research. He's going to have some more of this information from this recent survey that he and his organization conducted on small business owners right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us.
Mercy, 'cause this land's the place I love.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Steve King. He's a partner at Emergent Research. Steve, tell us a little bit about Emergent and tell us about your website, please.
Emergent Research is a research firm focused on the small business sector of the U.S. and global economy. And so we identify, analyze, and forecast trends and shifts impacting small businesses. And we're at www.emergentresearch.com.
All right, so check it out. And now, by the way, this survey that you're talking to us about right now, nobody else has this, right? I mean, you're giving us a peek at research that you actually haven't published yet.
Yep, this is a sneak preview. We'll be releasing this probably in mid-July.
Yeah.
We've just finished compiling the data, and we haven't really had time to write it up yet. But
well, thank you for making my audience the first to receive it, and we appreciate that very much. It's an honor for us. So, folks, you know, we work hard for you to make sure you get the fresh stuff, the really good stuff. Steve, and that's Emergent, E-M-E-R-G-E-N-T, research.com, and you're going to let us have this survey when it comes out to post on our website.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to have that. So, all right, so what are some other things that you learned in your recent study?
Well, one of the things that's really interesting is we looked at the competitiveness of businesses by different groups, and this is based on work done by the University of Maryland and Network Solutions. and what they call their Small Business Success Index, which is a pretty complicated analysis of the competitiveness of small businesses.
Right.
And when we looked at that, we found that there was no statistical difference among small businesses surveyed based on race, gender, ethnicity, or education.
From a competitive standpoint?
From a competitive standpoint.
What did you mean by competitiveness?
Means, well, we looked at about eight different factors in terms of how the firm's performing. And so firm performance is another way to think of it.
Would sustainability be another way to say your example of competitiveness?
Sustainability in the sense the ability to continue being
yeah.
a business as opposed to the
is that what we're talking about here and
yeah it's really a combination of the ability to stay in business, the ability to meet financial goals,
and so gender, ethnicity, age, none of that played a part in the sustainability of the competitiveness.
Race and gender, ethnicity, and education. What we found is once, and when you think about our survey, it's because we're doing existing small business owners, the median small business owner had been a small business owner for 9 years.
Right.
And so once established and running, the data says that it doesn't matter what race you are, what your ethnic background is, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're college educated or high school educated. And when we look at that, we think of that as small business ownership being an equalizer. Once the business
mm-hmm.
is successful, or has been
once you get established, and you finally figured out who you are and what you should, and you've learned how to stick to your knitting.
Right.
You've learned not to go all over the map with looking for opportunities. You've learned how to. You found your niche, and you're comfortable with it. Once you get to that point, it equalizes all the other rough spots.
Yes, which we think from a policy,
very interesting.
From a policy standpoint, we believe that if we can support underrepresented groups
yeah.
and get them to that point,
yeah.
those groups will be better represented. And I was going to ask you, our theory on this is, because there is plenty of data saying starting a small business is harder for women, harder for ethnic groups and minorities, but our theory is that there are so many problems and hurdles once you're in small business that once you've made it past those early years, those issues and that you've solved them outweigh the other issues.
I don't think there's any question about it. And that's fascinating finding that you just gave us. But no, you're right. From a startup standpoint, that's not what that information does not hold true for startups.
No. For startups, it's definitely harder. Harder for women, it's harder for minorities.
Women and people with less education, people
yep.
with less of a social support for that kind of, you know, for thinking they have the ability to take advantage of opportunities. Anybody in those categories have got several strikes to get them against them, largely because of two things: access to capital, even a few hundred dollars, even a few thousand dollars,
right.
and also. The education part, understanding how to manage capital, how to maximize it, and that sort of thing, and having experience in the marketplace as well, it's definitely different. Hey Steve, I've got to wrap it up. Man, this has been fascinating. Good job today. Thank you for the advanced information on this survey, and we look forward to getting you on again real soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Steve King, ladies and gentlemen, that's emergentresearch.com. Check that out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.